Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello and welcome to Lack of Focus, episode 0, an X-Wing miniatures podcast. My name is Ed Horn, the host. Alongside me tonight, my partner in crime and gaming, one Mr. Chad Brown.
Hey, everybody.
And our progenitor and producer, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, friend?
Good, thanks. Hi, everyone.
So we do want to give an introduction to the show. This is going to be a brand new X-Men podcast. Some of you may recognize our voices. Some of you may not. So we do want to give a little quick introduction to the cast, who we are, where we've come from, and how we ended up X-Wing podcasting. I will start with our producer extraordinaire. With Mr. Chris Sheriff. Why don't you kind of give us an idea? Where are you from, Chris? Where did that funny accent come from? And give us some of your geek gamer cred.
So I'm from the UK originally, obviously, a little town called Wigan in the northwest of England. I joined the military at like 17, left home, and did 12 years in the Air Force. So I was based in Scotland for a lot of my time, which I don't really think there's much accent in there, but people say there is, so I don't know. And then I moved to Canada 5 years ago now. And yeah, I've been playing miniatures games since the early 90s, since I was 11, 12, something like that. Started off with Games Workshop, moved through lots of different ones. I have lots of other interests. If you're watching the YouTube video, you can see the pile of stuff behind me. I obviously have a YouTube channel. If you are watching it, well done. You found it, and it was a redundant statement. If you're listening to the audio format of the podcast, you can follow all of my other gaming stuff on that. But yeah, that's about it. X-Wing podcasting-wise, I was lucky enough to be invited onto what was the premier X-Wing podcast at the time.
We were lucky to get you. I want to make sure that I reiterate that. We were lucky to get you. It was gold.
We'll see.
And I made a great friend in the process.
Yeah. But yeah, I was invited onto Nova Squadron Radio as I'd had a shoeing at Canadian Nationals from Ron Brannan. And yeah, it kind of stuck. I got invited back and then it went from there, really. I think myself and Ed both used to do some writing for Belle of Lost Souls, so we kind of had some history there as well. So, yeah. That's me,
and
really.
And now we're re-kicking it off. Second edition has kind of sparked some new interest, and here we're going to give this one a try one more time. Chad, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, my friend. Kind of give a brief history where you're from. I mean, we're in the same room. I recognize as you look here, if you're looking at the video podcast at Dice 8 Productions on YouTube, you'll see that he is over to my left, but he's actually physically next to me too. So, Chad, we've got some history in gaming, my friend. Why don't you kind of give the guys, those who don't know you, who you are, where you're from, and some gaming history.
All right, everybody. So basically, my name is Chad Brown. If you were fans of the old Nova Squadron Radio, you recognize my voice. I couldn't go to a tournament and not have anybody recognize it. I'm the Hey Everybody guy. I've been gaming since about the mid-90s, started off with Magic and D&D, and then about 2000s, he got me into 40K. And
my fault. Just, fault, he says.
Yeah, wow. And then the games just kind of snowballed from there into various other games. I've played X-Wing, Imperial Assault, War Machine, Pathfinder. I mean, it's just tons and tons of games I've been playing. I'm here in southwestern Pennsylvania. I live basically about 10 minutes away from where the Steelers training camp is, so that's kind of cool.
Next weekend?
Yeah.
Is it next week? Yeah, next week.
It's coming up, yeah. But, it's coming up. But yeah, I've been gaming for a while, and yeah, you know,
that's it. That's good.
As far as I can tell, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I'll kind of give an intro for myself. My name's Ed. I'm going to be the host of the show. Gaming history basically mirrors his because he and I grew up together. We met in junior high school and have known each other for 25 plus years. We've been friends in gaming together. Started off probably the same normal route as everyone else did. I started gaming and playing Dungeons & Dragons when I was in, you know, middle school and high school with him. We picked up Magic right around 93, 94 in that area whenever the game was first coming out. Moved on to other games. We started picking up Warhammer 40K, Warhammer Fantasy, Blood Bowl. That's another one. That's another one that Chad forgot. We got really, and I still have my box set sitting up there. And then we kind of just moved on to other games. I know we played 40K for a really, really, really long time. I started, because of the job I do, I'm a software developer. I had the opportunity to listen to a lot of 40K podcasts, and that kind of led me into writing for a blog that was called From the Warp, and I was doing reviews of podcasts. At some point in time, From the Warp was about ready to go away. I know it came back after, but I still wanted to move the article somewhere, and then I moved on to writing for Bell of Lost Souls, doing the same article where I reviewed podcasts. Right around mid-6th edition of Warhammer 40K, we started getting bored of the game. The game really started getting very unbalanced and was looking to move to something else. I'd been hearing a lot of chatter about the Star Wars game. I'm a huge, gigantic Star Wars nerd. For those that I have Star Wars tattoos, I have Star Wars everywhere in this house. I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt. Started hearing some noise about this game, X-Wing. It was a Star Wars game, and, well, it's a miniatures game. It's Star Wars. Well, I'm going to go give that a shot. Of course, started playing on the kitchen table with this guy. And it just kind of snowballed from there. We were lucky enough, we went to our first regionals back in 2014. And I met Roy Scales, Paul Heaver was down there, Ron Brandon, a lot of the guys from the Nova area. And Roy ran a website called A Few Maneuvers, and he was looking for someone to write articles for the site. And I offered to do the same thing that I was doing with Bell of Lost Souls for A Few Maneuvers, which I would do reviews of podcasts. But at the time, there was only like one or two. One had already gone under, and they were at that point like two. But I thought reviews of podcasts kind of get the community out there, since that was kind of my little niche. And he's like, well, interestingly enough, we were thinking about doing a podcast ourselves. And that's how the ball really started kind of rolling. It's something I'd always wanted to do, was doing my own podcast. It was a new game. There really wasn't a lot of market out there. So with the Nova guys, with Ron, who was kind of with us, Chris Olin, whenever we started Nova Squadron Radio. Roy kind of helped get us started and then let the reins go and just kind of let us run. And for almost 3 years, we ran a fantastic X-Men podcast. I got to meet a lot of great folks. Chris, who's obviously on the show with us now. Sean, who is feeling under the weather today and is not able to make it here, who will also be a host on the show. We'll get some of his background on the first official episode. And we talked about X-Wing for years. Went to a lot of tournaments, worlds, met so many great people. It was fantastic. And then we kind of fell out with the show. We had some stuff happen in the background with the show, and it just kind of stopped. But we never all stopped being friends. We all still kind of stayed in touch. And with the advent of Second Edition being announced, Chris is literally at Worlds when they're announcing Second Edition, and he's like, we should podcast about this. Because Chris has moved on, his full-time job, which he didn't quite get into, this is what he does. He does, produces video content for YouTube. This is what his career choices have been done.
Job.
Anything that I can do to help my friend Chris out, I'm going to. So we decided to do a faux episode of Old Nova Squadron Radio, and all the gears still clicked. We all still have the same chemistry, so we're going to go back into it. So some of you may recognize our voices from back then. Some of you may be new fans of the show and just picking up on it. So that kind of covers where we came from. I know with Old Nova Squadron Raider, we were very focused on tournaments and top tier lists and stuff like that. We interviewed a lot of tournament players. I think we're going to go more of a, definitely, Chad. That's definitely one more tournaments than I have. We're not quite sure that there are full direction on this one. I know me, myself, I'm a competitive player, but not everyone else in the room in the podcast is. So we're going to try to cover all bases of the game and covering all the new things that's coming with Second Edition. So I think that covers it. I think that covers our brief humdrum history of the cast. We'll get Sean's in whenever he's in. And let's kind of move on. Let's just dive right into it. So let's talk about Flight Deck, which is a segment that we're going to steal from our old show and bring back here and kind of discuss what we've been doing lately. I can go first because I'm super quick. I did nothing. My wife and I went to Scotland and Ireland for a big trip over the last 2 weeks. We didn't really have any time to touch any X-Wing, didn't make it to the game store or anything like that. The only thing that I did do was pull out all of my first edition cardboard and dump it into a box. What I'm trying to do, one of the things we discussed in a previous podcast we did 2 weeks ago, you can find on Dice8, was, Chris gave me a really good idea, which was look at the contents of the conversion kits and take those ships, and that's what you go with. And anything else that's in excess, sell off and use that to help cover the cost of the conversion kits and the two core sets that I'm going to be bound to play. Because, of course, my son's going to be playing, so he's going to take Rebels. I'm going to take Imperial. So I'm kind of going through – I have an ungodly number of ships to mow through. When we first started playing X-Wing, it was just Chad, myself, and our two sons playing at the game store. And anyone that was interested to play the game, they would come up to the table, oh, this is a great game. Can I try it? And if I didn't have any ships for them to play with, then they couldn't try. So I just ended up buying more ships. So I have, I don't know, 7 TIE Interceptors, 8 B-Wings, you know, like an ungodly number of, like, you would never need that many unless you were playing Epic. So now that we're kind of converting into a second edition, this gives me the opportunity to kind of trim the fat a little for stuff that I know I'm not going to fly anymore and help cover some of those costs. We do have an idea of something we're going to do with the contents from first edition and the proper way to convert from first edition to second edition, but we're saving that. I keep an eye out on Dice Hate's YouTube channel to see what we're going to do with that one. I'm saving Chris for last because I know he has more to talk about actual X-Wing than I do. Chad, did you do anything X-Wing? I mean, did you work at the store at all?
No, I actually didn't make it out to the store, but I did talk some X-Wing.
Oh.
Yeah, I talked to one of the area's probably best X-Wing players that we have, my son, the evil genius. Apparently he had told me he'd been talking to you and he's thinking about getting into second edition.
Excellent.
He is 20 and I kind of thought that at this point in time that he was going to be steering away from the games and becoming, you know, more like work and adult and those kind of things. Like he was more aiming that way. And then he tells me he talked to you and he's like, oh, he thinks he's going to give second edition a try.
It's funny you mentioned that. My oldest is 13. We're separated as far as when we had our kids. Mess said the same thing. Like he's definitely into that age where all of his friends are playing video games right now. But as I've been talking about second edition, about the changes that are happening to the game and how excited I am by it. He's like, yeah, no, I think I want to hop on to that. He's like, I miss going to the game store with the guys. I miss rolling dice. And for me, it pulls him a little away from that online environment and actually seeing real people across the table and rolling dice and playing games. So I'm super excited to get us both kind of going. But we do have to wait until September until that happens.
Yeah.
So I would like to try to get him flying some generic ships, just kind of remember what the game is. But I'm concerned. There's a little bit of concern for me to go... Well, if I'm trying to get him to remember what first edition was like and then have him shift from first to sec, part of me thinks I think it's just wait. I'm just going to hit the brakes and wait until second edition's out. We actually have the full rules and we have the full ships in front of us and then kind of just hit the ground running from there.
Yeah, with the dials changing and such, that's probably not a bad idea. Like I said, I mean, I was just talking to my son about everything and telling him about these are the different changes and such I saw in the Rebels, because he's a Rebel fan.
Yeah, me too.
That I saw in the video that FFG had done and is up on Dice 8.
Mm-hmm.
So
check it out there.
Yeah, he's got all three of the unboxing videos for the expansions, and I basically was telling him, well, the stuff I saw in the Rebels, and he's all like, that doesn't sound bad. He's got a half brother who also plays, and I'm still, yeah, he just graduated a few days back.
So crazy.
So, still got to find out if he's going to be interested in playing or not. He's been running a fat Han list forever.
I think that list is going to be very viable.
And now with Han's new ability, that's probably going to be even worse because he always would Han his dice. He would roll 2 hits and a blank. And he would haunt it and somehow get like 2 crits in a hit or something stupid. And he earned the nickname, name's Josh. I'll just haunt that McMillan. because he would always just pick them up and roll them. And people would look at him and be like, what are you doing? You know?
I'll just haunt that.
Yeah. Gunner, haunt, boom, done. You know, I was like, geez. But
like, he legitimately, I think he ran the Paul Heaver's fat haunt list from Worlds 2016 and has never changed. Like, that's basically the list he's run the entire time.
Me and my son have tried giving him other ships, and for some reason he just doesn't do that well. If you give him Han and 3 Z's,
he's golden.
He can do that. That's what he knows, and I mean, he wins games doing it, and he frustrates people. One of his favorite tournament memories is going to a tournament, beating somebody, and then overhearing that guy talking to his friend going, "Who's the flush fat on?"
How did I lose to that list?
Because it had been so far out of the meta that nobody considered it anymore when building their list. So he caught a few people off guard with it. And
well, I'll see if I can apply some pressure on him. Like, come on back. You really want to. All right, but one of us actually attended an actual X-Wing tournament. So, Chris, why don't you kind of fill us in on what you've been doing lately?
Well, a few of the local game stores in Calgary started to close down just with the economic climate as it is. So one of the ones where I actually started off, and when I first moved to Calgary, it was Myth Games up in the northeast. I used to work like a couple blocks away from it, so that was my local store, and they're unfortunately shutting their doors this year, and they decided to have one last X-Wing tournament. And as I'd put quite a bit of effort into building the community, and I based it all out of Myth Games when I started, I wanted to make sure I could attend. So I wanted to do something fun, and I know I've already told you what the list was. I ran Darth Vader with Predator, because I like Predator on Vader. I think it makes him pretty nasty.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Yeah.
The title and advanced targeting computer. And then engine upgrade, because why wouldn't you? 37-point Vader. And then I wanted to run two generics to be like an escort. That's the entire list I wanted to play was an ace and then two generic escorts. And after a lot of messing around, I was settled on two X7 Deltas with stealth device. So, yeah, it was
we have a tendency to like those TIE Defenders.
Yeah,
it goes back to the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter days.
Yeah, I've been flying Defenders since it came out, so I was pretty happy with that list. Didn't expect to do too well. Vader just tends to die, and I've got two PS1 chips if Vader dies, but I managed to go 3-0 undefeated. So I played.
Very nice.
Yeah. I didn't win because there were 12 of us, so and we only played 3 rounds. So there were 2 of us undefeated. My MOV wasn't great because Vader just dies, or they can't really keep both Deltas alive. So I was giving up some points. But game one was against a Ventress list, which I was a little bit worried about, because obviously Ventress in the endgame could be really annoying. So I went for her first, and then realised he had Dengar crew instead of Lightsaber Azzi. So I was like, oh, maybe this was not the right choice. But it was Ventress, a PS1 Skurg, and a PS3 Kimagilla. And it was pretty interesting. I took out Ventress pretty quickly, had to barrel roll out of the bullseye arc a couple of times.
Because I was like,
if I stay in the bullseye arc, I'll have focus evade that I can't spend. So I'm better off barrel rolling out and at least have the evade token with the defenders that I can spend. So that worked out pretty well. But just trying to play around, do some weird stuff. But that went.
When you were barrel rolling, were you doing the first edition barrel? Yeah.
So this game, I stuck with second edition barrel rolls all the way through. Then my round two opponent was a guy called Ian. Spoke about him a few times. He's a really, really strong player, and he plays a very frustrating game to play against. He takes lists that you don't think will be good. But it's all about board control, area control. Like you see, just seen Simeon win worlds with a control IG list. Ian runs stuff like very similar vein to that. He runs this list was a contracted scout bump master, which is obviously not really changed. It was running trick shot, intel agent, and anti pursuit lasers. That's his pretty much standard build now. Then he had a PS10 Nim with proton bombs, ion bombs, auto blaster turret, harpoon, I think he had Harpoon. Everything you would want on it. It just pretty nasty. He was going to worry Vader. And then his final ship was a quaking devised up quad jumper with space tug tractor array. And
did you just say a quad jumper?
Yeah.
Someone runs those?
You'll be surprised. So a quad jumper with quaking device, pattern analyzer, so you can still do an action while stress. You can check, you do the action, then check pilot stress. I think it is that way around.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And is it Visargo, which lets you swap out an illicit. So you cloak round one, then you swap your cloaking device out for an EMP device. Then you've got to account for the decloak move and a barrel roll. Remember, he could decloak sideways and then reverse. And then EMP device stuff, which sets up a chain of NIMs, ion bombs. And once he gets you locked in, you never get out. And he'll proton bomb you, and you just die. It's pretty difficult. That one, he managed to get both defenders. I think both of them died without shields, which was good. I was worried because one of them took a direct hit from the first proton bomb. But he managed to get both shields, so they died normally. But Vader managed to kill Nim, because I just went all out. I went all out to try and kill Nim, and the way I did it, because Ian, that type of control list wants you to fly into it. So I K-turned my defender turn one and just ran away.
Like, nope, come get me.
Yeah, I just K-turned the defender turn one. Vader did, was set up on the back line, did a one bank barrel roll backwards boost to start running as well, and just held range, tried to draw Nim out and just kill him as quick as I can. I didn't kill him until almost everything was dead, but it came down to Vader against the Jumpmaster. I've got more points, so it's fine, doesn't really matter. And I won that one. Then the last game was against Patrick, another really strong player. Played him a lot. He normally beats me in tournaments because I do something stupid. And by this time, I'd gone full on. I'm not doing any 2.0 barrel rolls anymore. I've caved.
Gave up on that mission?
Yeah, because I was running into a PS10 Alpha Strike Rebel list. So Nim with Harpoons, Auto Blaster Turret, Bomblet Generator. Wedge with Plasma Torpedoes and Adaptability. Flight Assist Astromech. And that like, hurts if it shoots at you, which he's going to get to. And then finally, it was Kraken with more Harpoons and VI. So it's just a PS10 Harpoons Alpha everywhere. List. Yeah. So I was like, if I fly, if he gets to launch all of his missiles at Vader, I lose. So I deployed one in each corner, Vader in the middle. Obviously, he deploys everything after I have. And he's got two guys on one flank, and then he'd left Nim on the other flank. So I'm just going to go as fast and as hard as I can to try and start putting damage on Nim. Kill Nim, it's fine. I didn't want to get baited into trying to kill that Wedge. Because if you kill Wedge, you have to fight Nim in the end game, and you don't want to do that. So I went Nim first. He actually killed Kraken because my dice failed me, but his bomblets finally took Kraken out. And then it was full health Wedge against a three hull Vader. And I took the noble art of running away.
Run out the clock.
Right, so we're good friends. So I said to him, I am going to take 30 seconds to plant my dial and just put it down face up for him to look at, but knocked 30 seconds off the time. So I played with my dial up so I could see what I was doing. But we just to get it done quicker, because it was like, eventually you'll get a shot, maybe, and as long as you don't roll triple crit, I should be fine. So we got the last like five rounds done in like 2 minutes, and that was like, we were done. So I managed to live. He didn't kill Vader, so I went undefeated.
Eked out a win.
Yeah, well, I don't
know.
It didn't even feel dirty. Right? We were playing a tournament, and I generally don't care about winning, but I'd gone 2-0. I'd already played Ian, which made it a hard game. Like, you can't play a fun game against Ian. It's not to say that it's not fun, but he forces you to have to think about every move. So I'm already invested into tryharding, and I'm like, I flew at Wedge. If this block works, I'm going to run. If it doesn't, I'm going to joust him. And I managed to do a big 3-bank barrel roll boost and blocked Wedge out. So he bumped me and was facing the wrong way. So I was like, okay, now I run. That worked perfectly, so I'm just running now. And it was really, really good games all the evening, but that's it. And I think that's probably my longest ever flight deck.
Because you actually played the tournament, that's why. Alright, so that's going to do it for the flight deck. We are going to move on to a little bit of news. We've gotten not one but two articles from FFG in the last couple of weeks, covering over some second edition stuff, and that will be coming up right after this.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Alright, we're back, and in the news, there's a couple of articles that FFG has put out, of course, all second edition based. Saul's Renegades on the boat. There will be here, rumor has it, the 21st, a couple of weeks. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, they've just turned to shipping now. It's normally about 2 weeks after they go shipping now, so not today, not because we record on a Thursday. Not next Thursday, probably the Thursday after. So, yeah.
Yeah, so within 2 weeks, we're going to see Saul's Renegades. So if you are making the transfer over to second edition, this is a box that you need to buy if you're a Rebel player, because these ships will not be... the ships will be included, but the pilots will not, and maybe not necessarily the upgrades as well. So this is your first official second edition product being released. Now, they are being released, of course, with first edition products as well. So you're going to get first edition dials, second edition dials. You're going to get kind of a smorgasbord of cardboard that you're going to end up pitching in a few months. So we're going to put the article up on the Facebook page, and of course you can check out there. Most folks have already had the opportunity to react to it. I just do want to cover a little bit. The first thing that jumped out to me in the article was Dead Man's Switch, which is an illicit on an X-Wing. So it still does basically the same thing that it did before. When something dies, it does a damage. I have concerns, and I'm probably too early for me to be concerned about a game that I haven't seen any rules for or point costs or anything like that for, but I remember when they were talking about the design space, like, well, Scum does this, and Rebels do this, and Empire does this, and then the very first release that they do, they bring illicits over to the Rebel slide.
I think it's definitely to do with the Saw's Renegades part of it, so I wouldn't get too worked up about it. I feel like it's definitely you'll be sacrificing a lot to be able to put them on. So in the same way you have this smuggling compartment now on the Falcon to get you an illicit. Is that the right one? Yeah. I think it's smuggling compartment.
Yeah, it gives you the illicit slot.
Yeah.
I did not see a card that gave them that slot. So, but because the way the second edition works, I'm sure it's only going to be pilot focused, as far as which pilots can take the illicit slot. So, like, for example, you wouldn't see Wedge with a Dead Man's Switch on. I'm hoping that's the way that...
Porkins.
Porkins would do it.
Porkins wouldn't fit a Dead Man's Switch because he's convinced he can hold it.
I can hold it.
I can hold the Switch. It's fine. I've blown up.
Oh, damn. But my guess is that that's how they're going to handle that particular situation. And we do have other examples of, for example, there are TIE fighter pilots that I've seen that have an energy token, for example, that not all TIE fighters have. So my thought process is that that's how they're going to handle that, that the X-Wing pilots coming out of that expansion will be the only ones that can take those illicits. And I think that's a really cool way of doing it, because if they find a broken combo, for example, they can just remove that slot on the app and in the PDF form for the points and costs and rules, and then it goes away. So I may be jumping the gun a little, but it's like, but I thought that that was just a scum thing. But I get it. I get where it's coming from.
I'm really looking forward to actually playing some 1.0 X-Wing with the U-Wing fix as well. So I'm going to go back
for a short time, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to run my 3 U-Wing list that just doesn't move. It's going to be awesome. Dial in the zero every turn, not play X-Wing, go for a beer. It's okay, do what I want. Because they get cheaper. It's going to be good. It's going to be good fun. I'm going to look forward to that.
You had mentioned in the previous show that we did that this is a perfect time to both sell X-Wing and buy X-Wing. Yeah. I'm seeing it all over the place. Ships that are going for like $2 and $3 a piece, and I'm like, ooh, I might have to start cherry-picking some of those ones that I kind of need.
Feel like your conversion kits.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm shooting for. The other one was Trickshot. I don't think that we had seen Trickshot before. It still basically does the same thing that it did in 1.0, or I'm sorry, first edition that it's doing in second edition. But it's just confirmation that that card is being brought over into second edition.
Yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah. Beyond that, there's a couple of named pilots, of course. You can go and check that out on the Facebook page there. The other article that came out, which actually came out today.
So before we move on, sorry, I will just say, Alex plays a game against guys from Team Covenant. It's Alex Davies' game. Mm-hmm. Uses a lot of the pilots from this set. Uses the two tubes.
That's true. I've forgotten about that.
So I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well, because that's a good video to watch, which features this content as well.
Yeah. So the announcement that was made today, of course, is that the suspicions are true. I just got done listening to our show from last week going, well, just because they named a Falcon title doesn't necessarily mean that a Scum Falcon's coming. Well, a Scum Falcon is coming.
I was convinced it wasn't going to. I thought that because we've got Resistance Falcon, I thought that was where it was coming from. But I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, and it's a different sculpt, too. The ship definitely looks different. Because if you've seen the movie, there's two ships. Oh, what's the second ship? I didn't see the second ship.
The escape pod.
Oh!
You've got to scroll all the way down into once. Like, they leave it. The article's finished. You're not reading anymore. And it's like, oh, there's two ships in here.
Oh, now I'm looking at it. I'm trying to see if I can find it.
We'll take a close look at pilot upgrades and escape craft included in Lando's Millennium Falcon expansion pack in a future preview.
Look at that. You're right.
It slots in.
And
this craft docks snugly into the larger miniature, which is why when you look at the picture, there's only one ship in there.
Because it actually is physical. I totally blew by it. You're right. That's so good.
The ghost was all one piece. Yeah. I mean, you didn't actually, have the ship.
You could see the shuttle parked in the back.
You
could
see it, but like once you departed that shuttle, I mean, it was still a part of the ghost model.
Yeah.
So that one there wasn't like that. But then like the Gazanti that had ships, you could remove from it.
Yeah. Right there. I just got them putting a whole bunch of TIE fighters. So I'm keeping them for that.
So they are making this where the escape pod does come out. And
L3 is going to be a character in the game. There are confirmations for that now. So she is going to be...
This is right there.
Yep, and she's going to be a pilot, too, in the escape pod. That's actually really awesome. Yeah. But, like, so the sculpt is... It looks much... I'm sure the back end is kind of to scale, but it looks... It's a much longer, different design.
It's
if you saw the movie Solo.
Which we'll discuss. Falcon.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be in the Scum faction.
Looks like it's coming with a...
Well, it's because it's coming with Rig Cargo Chute. That's why
Rig Cargo Chute there.
The highlight for me, aside from just now learning, of course, that there is going to be a, there's going to be an escape pod for that. The highlight to that, of course, was seeing Lando's crew, card, which I'm trying to pull up. There it is. Chad, it's kind of your tradition. Do you want to read one card for old time's sake?
For old time's sake, for those of you who remember, the old Nova Squadron, I read all the cards and I told you what each pilot did, what each ship had, stats-wise.
We might still do that from time to time, but we're not going to do it for every expansion and cover every card. We're not doing it. That's where we ended up with, like, four-hour shows whenever we get, like, huge expansions. We're like...
Every one pilot, and then everybody's going to give their opinion. I read the next pilot. Yeah. But anyway, let's talk Lando Calrissian here. So he's going to be a pilot Is it pilot skill?
It's initiative.
Or initiative.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard habit to break.
Okay. So he's going to be initiative 4. So, not the highest, but up there.
Makes you wonder if Han's the highest.
It's Lando's
ship, though. So
yeah.
If that turns
that's
out
a
to,
good question.
If that turns out to be the case.
So it is a scum ship.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the names, they've, where
the
normally
subtitle.
It would have.
The subtitle.
Yeah, like the ship, like the actual name of the ship, they have subtitles. So Lando is the smooth-talking gambler.
Lando Calrissian. Smooth-talking gambler.
Donald Glover is so good. So in the role. So
Action-wise, we're getting a focus, a target lock, a red boost, or you can reposition the turret. It is a double-sided turret marker on there for 2 dice. 1 evade, 8 haul, 3 shields. That's all the same.
You're missing a small part. How many attack dice does it get?
Oh,
it
that's said, right. It just gets 2. It's, I said 2, but I said it's all the same, but that's right. That one did change.
Yeah, there is only 2 attack
dice. It's an Outer Rim smuggler.
Well,
yeah,
if you've seen the movie, you know that there was only 1 gun on the ship at this point in time.
Uh-huh, and Han made some special modifications.
It's one of Han's special modifications. I can't give you points or upgrades because that's part of second edition. You don't know that stuff till you have the app, so...
Correct.
I'm going to go straight on it.
Or you print the PDF out once you release it.
Right.
Well, yes,
I'm so sick of people saying, oh no, I have to use a mobile to play the game. You don't, just print it out.
Yeah.
Print it out. You can absolutely do it. If you don't have access to the internet. So that's if you want to get into that, down that rabbit hole for a moment. If you don't have access to the internet.
You probably live in Lancaster, PA.
Don't have access to the internet and don't have access to the point class in any way, shape, or form. Can't get to a library or something like that. You're probably a casual player. And if you are a casual player, each expansion is going to come with those pre-built.
Quick
here's
builds.
How you build a squad. Yep. Take your ship and your squad. And you don't care about point costs anyway. If you do care in any way, shape, or form, go to a public library and just print it out. Or grab it. Like it drives me nuts when I hear that. Like, really? That's your big hang-up.
Yeah.
So Lando's got his ability here. After you roll dice, if you are not stressed, you may gain 1 stress token to re-roll all of your blank results.
Love it.
It's like you don't even need target lock.
Uh-huh. So then you can just go focus and reposition. Focus, reposition. Oh, no, you can't even do the linked action.
No, there's no linked action, so it's...
No linked actions.
Yeah, look at
it's,
that.
Lando will be focus target locked every turn, but only able to do green maneuvers.
Right, yeah. And we can't even make the same assumption that the dial is the same. So this is one of the reasons why I really like this expansion, because even whenever you did the resistance version of the Falcon... I'm making a jump here to say that the dial was the same as the original. At least it was in first edition. We don't know that the dial's the same. Han made his modifications. The dial could be very different. The dial could be different for the Resistance one, too, by the way.
So the dial
there's
is...
There's the dial right there.
Look at that.
That dial is definitely for the escape pod.
Yeah.
If you look at that dial, it's pretty bad.
Yep.
Well, the one, there's one showing, and then the other one shows the back of the dial. The back of the dial says customized YT-1300. So that one that's showing is escape.
I think that's FFG taking...
Trolling us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at your new YT dial, losers. Oh, look at that. You can turn, but it's red.
that's clearly got to be the escape pod's dial. So we don't know what the dial is going to look like.
No,
but super excited.
We did see the other YT-1300 one that they did for the Rebel expansion pack.
Correct.
So it's probably not going to be too far from that, I would imagine.
I would imagine there's going to be some differences. You want my
one or two, but I mean not too far from it.
I don't know. I feel like the stat block is enough of a difference for Han's modifications, so I wouldn't be surprised if it has the same dial.
So, one thing to point out, though, with Lando, it just says after you roll dice, so that works for attack and defense.
Yep.
Which...
Yep.
which I love.
Which, if you're down to one hull and you've rolled that blank, I mean, you might as well go ahead and stress yourself to try and live.
It sort of reminds me of his crew card. It was being a gambler. Like, it's a gamble. I'm going to be taking stress to do it, but I'm going to get a chance to re-roll stuff. It's so apropos of the character. This was announced that it's going to be part of Wave 1. So, for those of you keeping track, that means that Wave 1 release, you're going to have 3 scum ships and 2 of everything else.
But you are going to have had the X-Wing and U-Wing from Saw's Renegades and the TIE Reaper from Imperials.
Okay, that's true. So, that is, so if you were to consider all of that as part of Wave 1, yeah, I guess that does kind of count.
Yeah.
Fair argument.
Yeah, Chris wins
you have
again.
All the conversions.
Yeah. All right, so Chris got me on that one. All right, well, that's going to cover the
Do you not want to talk about Tobias?
Oh, I guess
it's awesome.
All right, I'll bring him up.
I've got him in front of me if you like. I just think this one's definitely worth talking about for me.
All right, go for it. So, we'll relieve Chad of his duties of reading cards.
Tobias Beckett is a crew card for scum only, and it reads, Setup. After placing forces, you may choose one obstacle in the play area. If you do, place it anywhere in the play area beyond range 2 of any board edge or ship and beyond range 1 of other obstacles. So you basically get the same deployment restrictions as deploying rock normally, but you add in ships in there as well. But that's awesome. So I underestimate placing rocks as it is. So this is going to be one of those cards that nobody takes until someone takes it and wrecks you with it.
Well, because that's part of that, like, back in the days when, like, Paul Heaver was running some of his Turn Zero articles, one of the first articles that he wrote was rock placement and how important it is to setting up the game, setting up your flight lanes, and establishing the path that you're going to fly through.
Well, let's make a nice open field with a nice channel. Hey, oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
And yeah, it's gone. Gone.
So
South Park memes incoming.
Yep, I know I've said this in previous shows. I love it when they mess with areas of design space that they've never touched before, and then picking up rocks and moving them, completely new. We've not seen that. We've seen them be able to eliminate rocks with other upgrades and other torpedoes in the past. We know that seismic charges in second edition can remove them well, but this is not in cargo chute adding material to it. But now we're just going to pick one up and move it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I am really looking forward to seeing someone's going to take it. Someone's going to take it and crack the code on it and find a great combination with him.
I'm going to run that so hard. It's going to be. I'm so excited to just. Oh, yeah. Oh, you deployed there, did you? Oh, it's a shame there's a rock right in front of you now.
Oh, goodness.
It's an awfully nice approach you've got planned. Be a shame if something happened to it.
So however many points he's worth, it's probably going to be worth it.
It's the whole thing for second edition. You gotta fly very well. So unexpected rock, fly good, you know.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun.
All right, so that's going to do it for the news. Our main topic tonight is a completely fun topic, non-X-Wing related. We're going to review the movie Solo, which all of us have seen. I happened to see mine in Stirling, Ireland, when my wife was like, hey, we've got nothing else to do. What do you want to do?
And do you mean Scotland?
Scotland, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Oops, I apologize.
So you could have gone to my house. That's about 25 minutes from my house.
Really?
But I still own, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm assuming you went to like Stirling Castle.
We did. We went to Stirling Castle, and then we went to the view that's in Stirling to watch the movies there.
Yeah.
I also went to the Blarney Castle and kissed a rock.
I went watch. What did I go? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Irrelevant. Irrelevant points, but yeah. Stirling is right near where I used to live.
I did not know that. It's a great town. The whole country is so beautiful. It really is. Your speed limits are insane, by the way.
That's kilometers an hour, not miles per
hour. No, it is not. It is miles per hour.
Just
so
get good.
The first day that we're there,
drive better.
You see speed limits of 60, and like we're supposed to be doing 60. I'm like, oh, that's kilometers. So we're doing 60 kilometers, and people are blowing by us. Like we're sitting still, like, what the heck's wrong? And then we start seeing road signs that say, well, this is 5 miles away, and that's 8 miles away. We're like, wait a minute. So I'm Googling it while we're on the, like, no, it's miles per hour in this country. But anyway, so we all got the opportunity to see Solo. Do you want to transition, by the way, between the two, or just keep rolling?
We can transition, I suppose, because then it makes my editing easier. So
yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take an opportunity to take a break, and then we're going to come back and review the movie Solo.
Almost there.
All right, we're back, and in the main topic tonight, we're going to review the movie Star Wars Solo, A Star Wars Story. We've all seen it, had the opportunity to take a look. I am kind of curious. I've not gotten any feedback from anyone other than liked it or disliked, so I'm really kind of curious to hear what everyone said. Chad, you haven't really said a bunch, so I'm going to start with you. What'd you think of the movie? You saw it?
I saw it. It was a good movie. I don't know that it was a great Star Wars movie, though.
Validate that. I'm kind of curious.
Well, with Star Wars, I mean, you're used to seeing Jedi and Sith and things of that nature. Things that were...
You did... All right, this is a point in time where we're going to give you the spoiler warning. If you've not seen Solo, stop now.
We can't even give our thoughts without jumping straight to it.
Right, exactly. So stop now, go see the movie, and then pick it back up after. All right, you've had your chance. There's your last warning. You did get a Sith in the movie.
It's not, at least what it's used not, to be a yeah, Sith. It's not a Sith at that point.
That's true.
It's not, and what did he do? Nothing.
But he was there. It was a nice little teaser.
Yeah, right.
Because he's on a video conference call with Kira. He's like, yeah, by the way, here's a lightsaber. Woo, why did I do that? I don't know.
Right.
So irrational point now. Completely irrational. It annoys me that Kira is spelled differently to Major Kira in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Star Trek, Star Wars, it doesn't matter. Just spell it the easy way.
Right.
It's a very Star Wars spelling, but...
Yeah. Amelia Park, I thought it was great in that too. But anyway, so we're trampling over your thoughts. So it wasn't a very enough Star Wars movie for you.
Like I said, I thought it was a good movie. I feel as though that the entire movie was to give you visuals of three things that people wanted to see. And everything outside of those three things, I mean, it was all right. It was a good movie. But like I said, it just wasn't
what
I'm used to seeing with the Star Wars.
That is a fair. What did you think of Rogue One?
I liked Rogue One.
But Rogue One only had 30 seconds of Vader in the end.
Right.
Yeah, but that's about 30 seconds of Vader.
Was holy crap. Well,
it was. Okay, so Star Wars, it's more than just the Jedi and the Sith. You got the space battles, which you didn't really,
not really
get
that.
The space battles there.
That's a good argument.
Yeah.
That's a fair argument. I heard so much about this this new TIE fighter that was, okay, yeah, you see it in the maelstrom. There it goes.
All right,
that's it.
So, on Chad's point, I agree completely for the first 15 minutes. I was really... I sat down to watch it, and at the first 15 minutes, I'm like, oh. Am I going to like this? It's a bit ropey.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay. I don't know what all that was about, but this is a good film.
It also had the feeling of like, okay, so this is supposed to be like a Han Solo prequel kind of movie.
Yeah.
And for everything before he joins the Empire, that is kind of a prequel, but I mean, he's already an adult at that point. So you've got him on Corellian. Him joining the Empire, and then everything else is...
Wait, let's skip past that cool part where he learned to be an Imperial pilot. We're just going to go blow right past that.
Yeah, I'm making a point.
All right.
Okay, so you got some of this prequels, like a brief prequel of Han, and then it's like, okay, now here's Han within a month or two of episode 4.
No, it's about 4 or 5 years at least before episode 4 on Rogue One. Because you have the horribly butchered bit where Han and Jabba meet in A New Hope, and there is backstory to Han and Jabba's relationship. Han dumping the cargo isn't his first mission for Jabba.
Okay.
So he's a regular smuggler for Jabba by the time of A New Hope.
So then the fourth thing that people would have wanted to visually see with Han is him actually starting to work for Jabba, which they didn't do.
Okay, but there's a reason for that, and they intend to do sequels to that movie. Well, yeah.
So we'll see. They've left it open.
Pending on how well, at least it was my understanding that that was the plan, was pending on how well the movie did, was there was plans for sequels. For, like, they were going to do a Han Solo trilogy is really what they were shooting for.
Ooh.
Which was supposed to tie right up into episode 4.
Yeah.
Similar to what they did with Rogue One, where the last scene of Rogue One, you could drop that movie right there, put in episode 4, and pick it right back up. A very similar situation.
The problem with doing that now is that I don't care. I'll see how Lando gets Cloud City. I'll be all over that film.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, everybody knows the three basic things you want to see visually. You wanted to see how Han met Chewie.
Which you get.
Yeah.
You wanted to see the Kessel Run.
Which you get.
What does it mean by the 12 parsecs? And they explain that in the movie.
If you round down.
And then the third thing that everybody really wanted to see in the movie was, how does Han get the Falcon from Lando?
Yep.
Like I said, now, not knowing that there were originally thinking about sequels and all that, like I said, there was other things like Han working for Jabba. I would have liked to have seen the start of that, whereas that's where the movie kind of just left off, was, hey, I heard there's a job, you know? And
well, and I think that's – you really should –
I didn't realize there was sequels.
Yeah, there are – well, maybe. If you get – if you take outside the box for a moment, and the box office output of the movie has not been stellar. I think a lot of that is the fault of another movie and not this one.
I think it will stay steady. And I think it's a good... So, like... Maybe even more so than Rogue One, I think you can watch this film and not give a shit about Star Wars.
Yeah, and so I did watch this...
It's a good movie!
I watched this movie with my wife. My wife is not a huge Star Wars fan. She's not a nerdy fan in any... Well, she's a little nerdy, but not like that. And she came out of that movie saying, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I was able to watch it from beginning to end and enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
It was action-y. There was this cool train heist kind of going on. It was a cool... And for me, I have to admit, I am in that group of the old crotchety Star Wars fans that fucking hated The Last Jedi. Every fiber of that movie. I watched it again on the flight back from Ireland to assert the fact that, like, all right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to give this movie a second chance. And I hated it even more the second time than I did the first time. So I would admit that...
I hate very specific things about it. But I enjoyed watching it.
This isn't The Last Jedi review, but I find almost nothing redeemable about that movie. I can't. I've really tried. But this isn't about Last Jedi. But I do feel a lot of the backlash from the hardcore Star Wars fans who would have been super interested in learning who Han Solo is, boycotted the movie.
Why?
Didn't show up. Because it was a protest. There was this whole big thing of boycotting Solo. It's all over the internet, all the hardcore Star Wars fans, because of how The Last Jedi went and how sour they were about that. If you like the movie, great.
What they decided was that we were going to bully people until they left, like, Instagram and just be really wholesome, nice people. So thanks,
Star
Wars.
Played it as it was written in a movie, had nothing to do with it. Like, it's not her fault that The Last Jedi blew. There are so many other things that sucked about that movie. Tika Rose is not the main problem from The Last Jedi. But anyway. Chris, your review.
I really enjoyed it. There are specific things that I would have liked to see. Like, the first 15 minutes feels like I'm hoping that that was a bit from the initial director, and then got checked.
That's what I
because
was going to say.
Yeah. If it's the other way around, I don't know. That felt very off to me, and I was really worried. I thought that he grew into a role. By the end of it, I could suspend disbelief. I like the fact that he played Han Solo, not Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Because that was a very solid fear that I had going into it. But from a film standpoint, it's a shame that everyone in the film was awesome. which diminishes the Han character. Lando is superb. Lando steals the show.
Absolutely.
I love Woody
Probably
Harrelson.
Probably reached a little bit too good for a good of an actor to play him.
Yeah.
Perfect choice. He definitely played the role really well, but you're right.
He was Lando.
Yeah,
From start to finish, I bought into that being Lando. Woody Harrelson's Tobias was really well done. It's a little bit when you have his partner dying.
Yeah,
where that moves on a little quick, and it doesn't seem to affect from the way they set the character up. They don't follow through. But again, that's not the actor. That's the production, and we know there were issues going into it. I don't feel like it holds the film back at all, but I love Woody Harrelson, so I will forgive a lot for that. So the man can't jump, but he can shoot a three-pointer for what it's worth. he makes a good pours a good pint as well. That's an older reference, but it checks out.
It does. Kids look up Cheers.
Yeah. yeah. I loved it all. It was really well done. It flowed really well. It didn't bog down at any point once you got into it. My two disappointments from it would be I was really hoping to see him earn his Corellian blood stripes and see how that came about.
Yep. If I was going to give a critique, that's on mine
again,
as well.
That is a hang-up from Legends EU. Like, those yellow stripes on his trousers might be fashionable. Like, Adidas two-stripe, three-stripe things. Now, they might not be Corellian blood stripes, we don't know. And it was my understanding in the Legends, and so again, this is another hang-up from Legends.
Golden crotchety, here we go.
That Han wins because of the form of Sabacco playing, there's a random timer which changes the value of cards, and just as Lando calls, it changes and gives Han the winning hand. He gets a fool's run because of the switch, is how I remember it. So
I think you're accurate on that.
That's funny. Whereas in beating him because of he's a better gambler.
And not cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like, because that's an intrinsic part of Han's character to me was always that he was just lucky. I'd rather be lucky than good. I relate to that. He's lucky. Things work out for Han Solo. They might not work out the way he wants to, but that comedy aspect of it was something I really enjoyed, and I had a slight disappointment at the end when they go and they play the game out and he wins. He wins fair and square, it's fine, he doesn't cheat, but I missed that. That would be my only other criticism. I think it would have been a nice touch to maintain that character. But again, that might...
More of a nod to the EU, kind of.
But again, and there were lots of nods to the EU.
Absolutely.
So it's not a problem, but it's more... It might be my interpretation of Han's character rather than... And that's everyone's problem with Last Jedi. It's people's interpretations of what, 60-year-old Luke. Yeah, 60-year-old Luke. It is.
To our credit, it's also Mark Hamill's interpretation of the character. that's completely.
But as in, Last Jedi, it's all colored by the 30 years worth of Legends.
Yeah.
That isn't there anymore. I don't think that there's a problem with what they did. It just isn't what anyone expected, and I feel like when we get 10 years down the line and
we've
filled
far away from anyone expecting something, I don't think and if we're going to get into a bit of a critique for Solo, first of all, I highly rate it as far as a Star Wars movie for me, but they didn't do anything I didn't expect.
Yeah, it's back,
and I think,
but can you blame them now?
No, absolutely not.
People complained about The Force Awakens, but they didn't cry and bully people.
Correct.
Whereas in now, I think it's a sign of the times of how toxic the internet has become.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. For me, I'm going to start off with a lot of the positives. I will, being one of the old crotchety fans that did not care for The Last Jedi in any way, shape, or form, sort of went into this with low expectations. I tried to stay away from the previews, as I always do with Star Wars movies. Tried to stay away from the internet hatred, which was really difficult, and did not believe in doing the boycott. I felt that if I want to see more Star Wars movies in the end, you have to support that to be able to go and see it. So I was not going to participate in the boycott. I wanted to actually see the movie, but I did go in sort of anticipating not liking the movie, that it was going to be garbage. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was a good Star Wars movie. I would have put it in the same classification for Force Awakens, in that it kind of already told me things that I already knew, because the Star Wars nerd that I am, I knew a lot of the EU stuff. But was it kind of cool to see some of that stuff? Sure. But it didn't really surprise me. The only surprise, of course, being at the end when they reintroduced Maul's character, and I had to explain to people around me who never saw, Clone Wars? Yeah, no, Maul didn't die. You didn't know?
Phantom Menace.
Yeah, oh, Phantom. Well, no, Clone Wars, because he's revealed being still alive.
He gets spider legs in Clone Wars.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and didn't see Rebels and didn't see how he actually dies. So there is a time period between when he fights Obi-Wan in Rebels and dies and this movie. But overall, it was a really good film. I like you said, I'm kind of with Chris, and the first 10 to 15 minutes of it felt kind of ropey. And I almost felt like there was nothing in the plot that really kind of surprised me. You knew Tobias was going to... Because he gives you the old bad guy, don't trust anybody, kid.
Yeah.
And that unspoken, including me, you knew he was going to turn on Han at the end. You knew that something was weird going on with Kira. Then originally, you kind of think it's Paul Bellamy's character, but you're like, no, there's something else there. So, like, none of the twists and turns, even the reveal of the... Oh, what was her name? And I'm drawing a blank. The raiders that were trying to stop them the whole way.
Yeah.
The reveal that they were actually kind of the start of the rebellion kind of thing. Like, none of that surprised me, because it all kind of made sense. It was very cookie cutter, very railroaded kind of script. But I don't know. I kind of needed that.
It was a very logical heist movie set in the Star Wars world.
As a Star Wars fan still recovering from my Last Jedi woes, I needed that. I needed a movie that was what I was expecting when I was going in. It had a couple of tiny twists and turns, but I wish it had more. And kind of, there's a handful of things. I really wish that there's a 4-year gap between when he leaves Kirilli and to when he finds and meets Kira again. And those are probably the 4 coolest years of Han Solo's career. Prior to that's when he's in the Imperial Army, when he's learning how to fly, when he earns the Kirillian blood stripes.
Sydney FL?
Yeah, give me 10 or 15 minutes of his Imperial training to kind of see, here's him flying, here's him learning, and then here's him earning his stripes, and then this is where we are getting him on the ground. How did he end up on the ground? I thought he was a pilot. They don't explain that. Now, it's my understanding there's a cut scene that you're going to see in the Blu-ray of him actually crashing a TIE fighter, and that's why he got put on the ground and not a pilot. But
justice to that, it should have been a film of its own.
I agree.
If I was writing this, I would have wrote it as a trilogy, and this film would have ended with them meeting Lando, where Lando lands his Falcon.
Yeah.
Seeing the Falcon would have been the climax of the film.
And not halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, I could absolutely see
then that. Then second film is what it was from when they've got Lando, and then third film can be in getting the Falcon.
Yeah. Or you could have had him have the Falcon, and then the third film being his relationship with Jabba, right?
Yeah.
Like, butting it up into episode 4, I think. But in any case, I think overall, I enjoyed the film. I'm kind of with Chad, like, other than the Darth Maul thing, there's nothing other than super Star Wars in it.
I would kind of disagree in that I felt like it was a very Star Wars... It was definitely a Star Wars heist film.
Yeah,
saga film. It's not... Yeah. I don't give two shits about the Skywalkers in this film.
Yep.
But it definitely felt Star Warsy to me. the way people talk to each other, their interactions, it felt very in-universe.
It reminded me, do you remember the rumors before where there was LucasArts wanted to do a live-action Star Wars series?
Yeah.
And it was all going to be based in the underground. It was going to have nothing to do with the Skywalkers or Saga. It was going to be that underworld greedy kind of thing. That's what this felt like.
Yeah.
It was actually really kind of cool to see Vibroblades, by the way, on screen. That was really kind of cool. And Paul Bellamy, I'm a huge fan of him. It was my understanding that, of course, there was another character that played his role, and when they went through the reshoots, he was not available, so they kind of brought Paul in to take that role. And he had just spent 18 months in purple makeup, and he's like, nope, I'm not... He was, like, supposed to be, like, this fish guy or something. He's like, nope, I'm not doing makeup. So, like, here, we'll put lines on your face. And that's it. That's all they did with him. Yeah. He's such a good actor, and he's so fun. And it was kind of cool seeing some of the... what is the name of the martial arts in the Star Wars universe? It's... I can't remember. It's some Star Wars nerd's going to pull my card for that. But he was like a master of that martial arts form from Star Wars universe. All of that was kind of cool. Anybody ever hear of that fuel that they were using? Because that was a first for me. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, and that was different. If you look at how much people... And again, it's kind of ties into The Last Jedi, as much as you hate this, in the... They're running out of fuel, blah, blah, blah. At no point in any of the previous Star Wars films is fuel an issue.
Correct.
Han,
I've never established
like,
that.
Like Han can just jump in the Falcon, fly wherever. It's not a problem.
Well, there was one tiny mention in Empire Strikes Back. Weren't they busy refueling before they had to leave the base?
Yeah.
And that was the only mention out of, like, six films.
Yeah. I don't mean that they were, like, Star Trek self-fueling ships. I accept that they need fuel. Right. But it was never a commodity. Yeah.
Like, something that they could run out of and base the entire 80 minutes of a film on.
Yeah.
And the slow chase scene of, oh, wait, we can't jump in front of them.
It's not like the blasters that you never see them reload.
Or the light speed they don't see attacking the Death Star. Like, oh, wait, we can just jump to light speed and blow up a whole thing? Why don't we just do that instead of sending pilots to die? Oh, I don't know.
But I'm
sorry. I can't. I'm trying
I hate that as well. Because,
okay, good. We're on the same page. We can agree on that at least.
The thing that bothers me about that particular thing is that it's irrelevant. It didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
We could have rammed the ship at normal speed to take out the Snoke ship. There are multiple other things they could have done. But you now have established that you can override stuff that stops you from going to light speed into stuff. And yep. I'm pretty sure that Star Wars ISIS would exist. And it's going to be a bad time for everyone now, isn't it?
And if that tactic exists then why isn't it used in other areas of the Star Wars universe?
Instead of spending loads of money developing a Death Star, can I not just launch a Star Destroyer into a planet?
Yep. Why can't I do that? Instead of sending 20-some X-Wings and Y-Wings to go blow up a Death Star,
that's a really nice interdictor cruiser you've just confirmed exists in the new canon. Shame if something happened to it.
Oh, that would kind of stink if that would happen. Oh, I'll just run one ship, a couple of ships right through it. So, yeah, that among the other things, that's really high on my list of you've just... Aside from breaking the universe in multiple other directions, that part right there...
That's the only thing that bothers me from that film.
It was the extension from what happened in The Force Awakens, though. I mean, in The Force Awakens, Han jumps to light speed from inside another ship.
But I was sort of...
Which they were all like, I didn't think you could do that. And he was like, well, let's try.
I never asked that question until it's done. But
it
was still going out the bay door, so I could kind of suspend some disbelief. He wasn't destroying the entire ship or the entire fleet of ships that was with him. He wasn't turning himself into a faster-than-light weapon that you're like, well, why aren't they using this tactic more often?
Morals.
But they blew up the Death Star. Where are the morals there?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's
it's suicide to do it.
Okay. No,
maybe they as they're against
as much as
God.
LT is all for droid rights.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. As much as droid LT rights. Is there for droid rights, you stick a restraining bolt on LT and say, "You see that knob? Let me launch an escape pod, and then you just push it slightly."
And then I'll be. There are such things as astromech droids that are around to actually pilot ships. Like aside from the fact they can pilot them as well, and just load a whole bunch of ships up with astromechs and say, "Hey, go at it."
So I have to bring this up with the Solo movie. Han, Chewie, Lando, the Falcon itself. A few different times throughout the movie, they're like, "Oh no!" Like the train heist, like you mentioned a little bit ago. Did anybody think Chewie wasn't gonna make it when they saw that rock coming?
I actually said out loud to my dad at one point. I think it was, it might have been when they threw him into a pit where he meets Chewie. And it's like some monster, let's feed him to a beast or whatever. It's like, do you think he's going to make it?
Yeah. The gravity well. Yeah, I mean, who didn't know they weren't making it out of there?
Yeah, trying to build tension is a mistake.
In a prequel with established characters, because you already know the outcome walking into that situation. For example, there are rumors
what I was speaking about, if you watch Star Wars chronologically and you've never seen it before, Solo is an even better film.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, because they don't know the outcome.
Yes.
None of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how big of a deal Han's dice were. Two films back to back where Han's dice were like a big deal.
They were a little thing
in episode 4 that you kind of saw, but, and like, oh,
and that's what part, like, the point of those dice where they were part of a random element of a game of Sabacc that he won the Falcon with.
Right!
So they're now not relevant because you don't use dice in Sabacc. I don't know. Sad times.
They were just a lucky charm, so to speak.
Yep, just like fuzzy dice on a 67 Mustang, man. Just put them up there.
Chewie would have been upset if they were fuzzy.
At least the dice in this one were real. You know, they didn't just fade into Force illusions.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Anyway, all right. So unless there's anything else anyone wants to cover, I think that's gonna do it.
Well, we should probably give a rating, I suppose.
I
feel like we now have to stop giving Star Wars films ratings out of number of Star Wars films, so.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's just kind of do
there
a
one. There have been too many.
One to five.
Good old fashioned. That's okay. I had the weirdest realization. So I watched episode 4 today with my 8-year-old, who I keep forgetting hasn't seen the older films. So we sat down and watched that, and he's like, "Well, how many movies are before?" And he's like, "It's just the 3 that you have here." He's like, "Well, and then it'll run." And I'm like, "And then Solo." So there are literally, there's 5 movies that happened before episode 4 now. And we're going to keep chronologically.
Clone Wars.
I didn't get into the TV series, but you're
no,
right.
No, not the TV series. There was a Clone Wars
Clone
movie.
Clone Wars movies, and I always...
Technically, there was a Clone Wars movie.
And I
if it goes straight to DVD, does it really count?
It didn't.
Did not. We saw that at the drive-in.
The Clone Wars movie where Anakin gets Ahsoka as his
Padawan. I own it.
Yeah.
Yep, so do I.
Yep, that one actually released.
Before Ahsoka becomes cool.
Yeah.
When Snips is annoying, not Ahsoka.
It's funny too. So I was trying to explain to someone I work with who asked me, who's, I would say, borderline Star Wars nerd. He knows enough about Star Wars to make him dangerous, but not enough to know all the background story. And he walked out of the movie and he's like, "How is Darth Maul still alive?" And I had to explain to him that it was in the Clone Wars cartoon that you established that he's still alive. And by the time you get to Rebels, he's really kind of this crime boss and he's really trying to bring... I had to explain the backstory to him. I'm like, "Didn't you ever watch it?" He's like, "No, I always thought those were for kids. Like the Clone Wars and that Rebels were for kids." I'm like, "Don't get me wrong. Rebels has the Flying with Space Wars episode That's kind of for kids.
Don't ruin it, Pop. I've still not seen the new ones.
Oh, all right.
You can't. No more Rebels. No spoilers.
No spoilers. You didn't see the Flying with Space Whales episode?
No, I've not seen the last series.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
not up to date. I've got the last series to watch. I'm waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray.
Okay, well, I won't spoil the ending for you, but what I will say is that there are those kiddie episodes that are clearly meant for the kids, but there's also episodes in there that were clearly designed for hardcore Star Wars nerds. You saw the one where they talk to the Boda, where you talk about, you know, the Jedi and the Sith, and then the guy that's in the middle in the gray. Like, there are episodes in there designed specifically for hardcore Star Wars nerds. Clone Wars was the same way. It may have started off very kiddie, but as you get into the depths of the Clone Wars, much more grittier. Main characters dying.
But season 3, season 4 is where it really gets good. They finally understand what we need to do, and they start putting episodes out in chronological order.
Yeah, there is that part.
Clone Wars, to watch Clone Wars coming in blind, it's terrible. Because it's not in chronological order. Like, the timeline jumps around, and you're like, I thought, it's so bad. I don't know why we did that at all. But so
I think those first few seasons were meant for kids. And I think that they recognized that they had an area that they could explore something cool.
So this is just going to tangent it really badly, but that's what the reason Firefly got cancelled was because they didn't put the episodes out in chronological order. And they started off with a train heist because they thought that would be a cool episode to do.
And then it established any of the backstory to any of the characters or who the hell they were.
And Clone Wars feels very much like that. I mean, if I'm in the middle of watching it now, but I went on Wikipedia and got the chronological episode order to watch it properly.
I'm going to have to do that. I couldn't get through the third season the first time I watched it, and then someone had told me start off with like season 4 and just go from there, and that's what I did. So there's a lot of like the first 2-3 seasons that I just haven't seen, and I don't feel that I missed anything. I feel like I got the point of it.
You get a lot of Yoda in the first few seasons.
Yeah.
Hey.
But isn't so, there? Well,
Solo. You're the one on the time limit this time.
Yep. Out of five, Chris.
I'm going to give it a miserly 3.5 out of 5. It's extremely close to being a 4. If you go into it with no Legends knowledge at all, I would easily give it a 4 or a 4.5.
If you went in there with no Han Solo notes.
Yeah, but I would agree with that. Me wanting to know about his days in the academy and me wanting to see how I feel like he should have won the Falcon is what knocks that half a point off for me. And that first 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was clearly from other directors.
Yeah.
Chad, where would you put it? Out of 5.
Out of 5, I'd have to say probably about a 3.5, 3.75. Just because, like I said, I mean, it's a Star Wars story that didn't it didn't feel Star Wars enough. You know, there was some, like, you know, things going on. I mean, the reveal that, hey, look, you got this Force users hiding in the background and all that. None of that got touched on. I mean,
especially if it ends up being an incomplete story.
Yeah. If it's an incomplete story, that's going to make it even worse. But I mean, that's all due to box office sales and all that. And it came out third in about like a month period of super movies coming out.
It's paid for itself already. We've not lost anything.
It's paid for itself.
Right, but they need to make...
They haven't paid for the advertising.
Yeah.
You know the merchandising will pay for the advertising, don't you?
No, I know.
Probably, yeah.
There are people who are saying, well, nobody's going to buy Solo toys. And I'm like, are you kidding? We just did an article on Lando's Falcon. I'm going to go out and buy that. That's part of it.
The thing with Disney and Star Wars now is that the actual movies are irrelevant to the merchandising. George Lucas made all of his money off Star Wars merchandising, And that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when people aren't as hardcore on anything as they are now. So you can have the people who are, I'm not going to go and watch it. But I'd say about, again, plucking numbers out of the air, half of them will go and watch it. They just wanted it to have a bad opening weekend. And then the ones that still have don't watch it. So, oh, but if I buy this toy and keep it in a box, I could make loads of money in the future. Uh-huh. So I'll just buy one and put it under the stairs and never tell anyone I bought it. It'll be okay. I can keep my boycott. I can stay cool. I can stay in the club. No one will know.
Nobody will know. For me, I'm going to have to give it... I'm kind of in the same boat, if I want to give it an honest answer, for about a 3.5. Mostly because of coming from my previous Star Wars knowledge of who Han Solo was and how things happened, it told a story that I already knew. It was kind of cool to see it on screen, but I don't know that it was necessary. It's one of those things, like, if they were going to pick another character, there's so many other characters I would have liked to have seen them do prequels, how did they get their kind of stories. Han's a great character, probably one of my top three or four. But this is not the first movie I would have picked as a Star Wars. I really like the decision for doing Rogue One. I recognize that it was based off of just a single line, but it told stories of characters that I didn't know. So while in the end I knew the outcome of the movie, I didn't know how they got there. Whereas with Solo, I kind of knew all that stuff already. So it was kind of cool to see it on screen. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you've seen episode 4, 5, and 6 and beyond that, and you know anything about Han Solo, it's probably a 3.5. If you've never seen anything and you're watching them chronologically, like Chris is saying, and your first entry into the Star Wars universe was episode 1, 2, and 3, and you never kind of got around to that part of it, then yeah, this is a fantastic, it's probably a 4 for you. It's a 3.5 for me.
I would say, so just to put some context on that, I think we're all happy with a solid 3.5 then. Our lack of focus rating.
Yep.
But
our first official
lack of focus rating. So let's put it into context of how you would rate A New Hope. So, personally, I go the other way now. I will score it. Sorry, I go the same way. The other way. As a Star Wars fan now, it's already ingrained within me that I like this film. So I would give it a 4 or 4.5. If I wasn't a Star Wars fan, a Star Wars fan and watched A New Hope now, it's probably a 3, a 3.5. So that puts it into a context of, because I have this baggage, Solo is a 3.5.
That's
what makes it a 4.5 for me. So it's like the exact reverse of Solo. So that puts A New Hope into context and Solo in context.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'd still give.
Five.
Well, so there's always the grand debate, in my opinion. Is Empire better than A New Hope, or is New Hope better than Empire? I happen to have always fell onto the opposite side of most folks. I happen to like A New Hope just a hair better than Empire. Both are fantastic films.
It's no Attack of the Clones, man.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. Both are probably easily 4.5s out of 5 in my grand total. So you're talking like decimal point difference between the two. It's just A New Hope was my introduction into this world. It's really what hooked me into it. And episode 5 doesn't stand up if episode 4 doesn't exist. So that's kind of where I felt fall into that if I'm picking between the two. Both are fantastic films, but if I had to toss my head in. So I totally understand the analogy. All right, so we're like well past my hard stop date. We started talking Star Wars. I can't help it. That's always going to happen. So we're going to go ahead and move on to close out the show right after this.
I don't know. Fly casual.
All right, so that's going to do it for episode 0 of Lack of Focus. Next week, we are going to be joined by our fourth chair, one Mr. Sean Dorsey, hoping he is feeling better. Hearts and thoughts out for him. Chris, always good to talk to you.
It's good to be here again, Ed. I'm having fun. This is, 3 weeks in a row we've recorded some...
We're starting a trend. It's almost becoming a habit.
Yeah, it's good. We're getting there. So I did have some X-Wingy news I've been making some prototype. Well, I've been working with one of my friends to make some prototype templates.
And if you want to see these, I highly recommend checking out the YouTube channel. But they do have the lines down the middle, and the one, of course, has the barrel rolls already etched into it. Trying to explain it in the audio format for those who aren't looking.
Yeah, and the plan for these is to make them some form of Patreon reward, and we're working on adding in new logos onto them at the moment.
We haven't settled on a logo yet, but we're getting there.
This will be the Dice8 logo if we do a Lack of Focus ones as well. But we'll work on that at a later date. We'll probably do some other Lack of Focus merchandise as well. We've got some fun ideas.
I heard at least one good one today off camera.
Yeah, but these templates are all hand-painted by myself as well, because we don't print on acrylic at the moment. So we're cutting them, and then I hand-paint them all. So,
are you laser cutting the wood? Are those wooden ones?
These are white acrylic. Then it's so white acrylic, and then etching the line in and the like speed marker, and then I'm hand painting in the color.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So it will be a pretty limited Patreon reward, but I'll got a few people who support me already, so I'll make sure once we've got a product I'm happy with, I will send those out, and lots of painting blue lines on white templates.
Yeah. And Chris, if I wanted to support your Patreon, how would I do so?
You can find Dice8 on Patreon. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes and on the YouTube video. But you can go on the throw me a dollar a month if you really need to. Obviously, I always say the best way to support the channel or the content creators is to watch the content, share the content, talk about it, and just make it a part of your daily routine. But if anyone does feel a need to support me and the Dice8 brand, I don't actually take any money from it. I don't draw a salary. It pays off the massive amount of debt I accrued buying all of the equipment.
All the fancy cameras and stuff.
Yeah, fun times. Like hosting stuff, hosting websites, hosting podcasts.
Video editing.
Maybe in like 10 years, it'll be able to like pay me some money. But at the moment, it's paying interest on credit cards. So fun times.
Well, let's see what we can do for you if you can. If you are so inclined, you like the content, by all means, kick Chris a couple of bucks, and we'll continue to do so. Chad, always good to talk to you, my friend.
No, oh, always great to be here. Just want to say thanks to all the fans out there who are listening to us once again. Want to say welcome to all the new people that are out there. Feel free to hit us up on Dice8's webpage. If you're on Facebook, you can reach us there. The old Nova Squadron page, I believe, is still up for the moment. We're working on changing that over to Lack of Focus.
Correct. So if you are a returning fan from Nova Squadron Radio and you're still kicking onto that page, we are going through the process of changing that name. It will switch over in a few days, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And then once we have the logo banged out, what we decided that we like, that'll toss up on there as well. So those 1,600 plus likes that we have on Facebook there will also come on over to the Lack of Focus show as well.
All right. Don't forget, you can also find us on YouTube under the Dice8 page. So feel free to watch the video if you want to see us like laughing and. What's so funny? Why are they laughing at this point? You'll see in the videos what's going on.
And
you know?
Get Chad's epic beard. Come on.
My epic beard, yes. We forgot to intro it in the beginning as a cast member.
It's an honorary fifth chair. Like, literally.
But, check us out. Like I said, Facebook, Dice8, YouTube, the Dice8, and hey, that Patreon's not a bad idea. I mean, if you like our content, which a lot of people have told us they like our content, feel free to, you know, like Chris said, even if you want to just kick them a buck, that would be awesome.
Really appreciate that. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. I'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. And as always, guys, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice8 Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.